good offering to home missions. Sing, Bessie. Amen.
When my plans have fallen through and I don't know what to do, I just look unto the hills whence comes my help. When the dreams I've dreamed have died and I need a place to hide, I just look unto the hills whence comes my help.
Just to start with, Genesis chapter 18. This is God's visit to Abraham. They call this a theophany, the pre-New Testament manifestations of Christ when he came down to the earth and talked to men before he was ever incarnate in human flesh. And in this Trinity that came to visit him, two of them were angels and the other was the Lord himself. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now listen to this. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Amen. Another one. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, there came a man of God to Eli, verse 27, and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Amen. And did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel? And wherefore God saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Thirty-fourth verse. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them, and I'll raise me up a faithful priest. Amen. Perhaps I will turn to the New Testament and read a scripture in Titus. For the grace of God, chapter 2, verse 11, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. I thought I would preach on the blessing of Abraham, the curse of Eli, and the grace of God. And in this day of the general cop-out when it comes to responsibility, I think perhaps we need to refer to these examples in Scripture one more time. Amen. God said that he was going to bless Abraham. Amen. Because Abraham would command his house. Does God expect us to still command our house? Are we responsible to some degree on how even our children turn out? Amen. Perhaps we can't nail it down in every case, but make no doubt about it, God has promised a blessing. He said, I know him. He'll command his children. The missing link in many a household and in many a ministry is the failure in the area of commanding our children. We live in a day of child psychology and modern methods and pure old pride. Why do parents fail to correct their children? They've got too much pride. They don't want to be seen as a scolding parent, a mean parent. Amen. And in my opinion, it'd be a whole lot better to slap them young'uns that are screaming up and down the aisles of the supermarket until they saw stars than to let them keep screaming. And I'd like to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I can stop that business quick. Amen. I mean, I didn't even allow my children to scream and cry after I whipped them. I whipped them for screaming and crying after I whipped them. Because sometimes they'll squall, bawl, and climb a wall thinking you'll let up. Amen. And they didn't understand that retribution comes when you disobey. Amen. You won't have to do a lot of being mean, quote unquote, if you'll start early enough. You need to get your bluff in early. Amen. In order to do that, you got to have strong standards to start with. If you have a good set of convictions to start with, that you're not going to have thus and so, that you're not going to put up with thus and so, amen. I mean, little old kid, not bigger than anything, backing up just by myself. No! He needs his mouth smashed when he does that. Amen. I mean, a child that calls his mother and father names. You don't want to start allowing that. Amen. You want to promise and fulfill swift retribution right early. Now you that's already made all your mistakes and already blundered and stumbled and come out pretty good, amen, you just cast this off to the side, amen. But I'm preaching to Rob and Joanna this morning. Amen. Because they've got it yet to work out. Amen. Hallelujah. And hey, if you have good children, we need better parents. Parents that have convictions. Parents that have some grit. Parents, praise God, that stand together. The mistake that Isaac and Rebecca made was that they took sides. Amen. Esau was Isaac's boy, and Jacob was Rebecca. Amen. Pet. And boy, I mean, that splits up a family, you know. Amen. It's going to be hard to have that youngin' turn out if dad's taken up for them in their meanness and mom's trying to correct them. If ever we need a man that takes the lead in the household, it's in their youth. If we ever need an enforcer in this thing of a parental and childhood discipline, praise God, it's in their youth. It starts in their babyhood even. A woman asked the doctor, said, "When should I begin to chasten my child when it does wrong?" He said, "How old is it?" She said, 6 months. And he said, "You've already wasted 6 months of that child's life." Because doctors back then, you know, amen, believed that you started early in this thing of discipline. Amen. As a matter of fact, they won't even remember it in their babyhood and childhood when you slap their hands, and but it will soak in, and they won't go to people's houses and pull everything off the table. Amen. And they won't go to the church dinner and be reaching up over the table and sticking their fingers in the potluck supper that the folks have bought for folks to eat. Amen. They will already have their hands slapped at home, and they know better to reach that far anymore. Huh? Praise God. You got to have a good case of standards. Amen. I mean, some parents need a brain transplant instead of that pea that they've got up there for a brain. It's like Brother Routon told his daughter about his son-in-law. Said, "You need to start looking for a crippled hummingbird." Said, "Your husband needs a brain transplant." And he didn't stop with telling her that. He told his son-in-law that. "You need a brain transplant." And you know what? He agreed with him. Amen. And there's a lot of children that are just dying for discipline. It's like the child that Brother the Baptist preacher took into his office at a big school, big church, to talk to him about his problems. Amen. And he said, "Brother Howells, would you do me a favor?" And Brother Howells kind of flabbergasted and said, "Well, yes, I guess. What?" And he said, "I'd like for you to give me a good whipping," because he never had had one. Amen. He didn't have anybody that loved him enough to spank him. He didn't have anybody that loved him enough to correct him. We're living in a day when kids are just in mom and dad's hair. They've got all they can do. They've got their social life, and they've got their job, and they're busy making money, and they've raised their kids either with a sitter or in front of the one-eyed monster. Amen. And the child is starving to death for loving discipline. They need a belt took to them. They need a good old-fashioned paddling. Amen. They need to be taken to the Board of Education. Praise God. Yeah, my mom and dad believed in the stars and stripes. They laid on the stripes, and I saw the stars. And if they laid on enough stripes, amen, I didn't have to see the stars very often. Did you notice how obedient Isaac, Abraham's son, was when he took him up on the mountain and laid him on the altar? How many kids would be that obedient to their father? Now, Isaac wasn't no toddler. Amen. Isaac was probably about 20 years old or 30. Amen. Maybe more like 30, probably the age that the Lord was when he began his ministry, somewhere thereabouts. So Isaac wasn't no spring chicken when he did that. Amen. When he asked him, he said, "Father, here's the wood and we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." Why did Isaac do that? Because he had been taught unquestioning obedience to his godly father from his very youth. Amen. No seesawing back and forth. Amen. Oh, Sarah jumped the gun, and amen, she fostered this plan of having a son by Hagar. Amen. It didn't bring anything but trouble, but even God blessed Ishmael for Abraham's sake. Amen. Even after he put him out of the household. Amen. And his mother took him into the desert and set him under that bush and went off because she couldn't stand to watch him die. And God took care of Abraham's other son. Amen. God will do a lot of things for Abraham if Abraham will do good. I'm talking briefly this morning about the blessing of Abraham, praise God. But the terrible thing about Eli's sons was that they desecrated the house of the Lord. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I choose him out of all the tribes to be a priest to offer upon mine altar to burn incense to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire and the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house, the house of thy father, should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He don't stop. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thy house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever. And the man of thy house whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die to in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in the day when they shall die, both of them, and I'll raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and for a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's office, that I may eat a piece of bread. The curse of Eli would go on and on and on, until finally his daughter-in-law, in the time of battle, would give birth to a son. And in her pain and in her dying breath, she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. The future of Eli and his priesthood and any good that he could do for God hung on his sons. If he didn't raise them right, if he did not correct them, there would be a slim future for Eli's household. They would be cut off. They would no more be a priest unto him. Amen. The curse of Eli is everywhere today. it filters into the church and even into the ministry. We've got the preacher pulling one way and his wife pulling another. The preacher standing up for standards. The preacher trying to stand for discipline. And his wife taking up for the kids in their meanness. They're raising a house full of spoiled brats that won't have any respect for God. Because you see, if you don't respect your father, you don't respect God. Because he's the nearest thing to God that you'll see. You can't see God, but you can see your father. Amen. So the Bible said, honor thy father. Amen. That honor, however, must be earned. It must be earned by Abraham, praise God. And the wonderful thing about it is, today we're all Abraham's children by faith. And we prove it by doing the works of Abraham. Or we are the sons of Eli in unbelief. And we prove it by doing the works of Eli. Amen. Well, praise God. Eli's curse everywhere. Whole cities with outbreaks of syphilis and gonorrhea. Why? Because the children have no standards taught at home. They get their standards from school. They get their standards from their peers, the other kids. They too don't have any supervision. Amen. Dad's busy making money and mom's busy working and with social clubs and having fun. Amen. And they've not got time to raise their kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Take them to church for that matter. Every once in a while, mom says, no. And then dad comes along and says, let them alone. They've got to sow their wild oats. I had to sow my wild oats. Let them sow their wild oats. The trouble with sowing wild oats is the reaping. And the curse of Eli comes with the reaping. Amen. I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared unto all men. And by the grace of God, a lot of things concerning the law in the Old Testament have changed. God would visit the sins of the fathers to the fourth generation in the Old Testament. Amen. But he told us in Ezekiel there'd come a time that the children wouldn't suffer for the father's sins. And the father wouldn't suffer for the children's sins, but every man would face retribution for his own sins. Praise God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hey, let's turn that coin over, if you will. Amen. And look at the other side. Praise God. Your father might have been a Hottentot and your mother a wild Indian. Praise God. But if you choose to serve God, you can serve God. Amen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And that makes the difference. Your dad may be an alcoholic and your mother an adulteress. Amen. Or vice versa. Praise God. And you've seen so much of it that you got sick and tired of sin. And you went to church. You wanted something better out of life. Did you know that's happened a many a time in many a life? Amen. I broke the ice in my family. I was the first one to really get something and live for God. But I must go back to mother's knee, because mother in those early days had strong conviction. She sung to me the old rugged cross on a hill far away, and she told me about sin and about Jesus. Amen. Mama drifted away from Jesus herself, and Dad never knew God. Amen. Never prayed until he got old that anybody knew about. And then he prayed all the time. And he'd go around because he was reaping. Oh, yes. Jacob was breaking his clods. Amen. And he saw his world falling apart. And my poor old daddy, when he saw it in his pride and joy, his youngest son, his world fall apart. Carl leave church and begin to drink, and his home bust up, and the fortune that he built up and the affluence that he built up fall apart. My poor old daddy hung his head. He was just reaping what he sowed. He was just looking at himself a few years back. And you know what? He couldn't stand it. And he went around with his head hung low.